Good morning. My name is Emperor Jesus Christ. I struggle with being codependent and addictive behaviors, and I am going to read this morning's scripture. So if you're able, if you could stand with me. Our reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. As you therefore have received Christ as the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of flesh, He has made alive together with Him, forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regardless of Sabbath, our show of things, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one of your work take the ability, worship of the truth, which is not seen, of the flesh, and not hold fast the head, who body, and take the body, which is God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh.
You may be seated. I'm going to guess it was about 30 plus years ago. Let's see, 40 years ago. Man, Jerry is old. The pastor Jerry and Jeannie ran our youth group, and Sally and I had come on as advisors. We've been there just a couple years, and we began to really grow in this amazing youth group that we had back in that day. And one of the great things about the youth group is we were interconnected with other youth groups, with Central Assembly, with First Assembly at times. And consequently, the youth of that time were interconnected in fun ways. So as a youth advisor, I got connected with some kids from other youth groups, which was really a lot of fun. And I remember Paul Piarki. I remember Paul Hurtman, and some other guys from their church with guys from our church. We'd get together and we played basketball. I'm a little offended that maybe he thinks I can set a better screen today than I could back then. Something about girth and hips for you that don't understand basketball, but. And we would play, and we'd get to know each other. And we watch them grow as we go to Spencer Lake for Bible camps and watch just the interactions and just these young guys, women, guys, growing in the Word of God and being about the faith. So when we see somebody come back 40 years later and they come from a country, Kiev in the Ukraine, because they live there to do the work. Everything you heard from the gospel, from the Spirit speaking this morning to the worship, is what they actually live and do. They're missionaries in this place, and they've been there for about 14 years building churches or serving in this country. And I believe it's more of an international kind of serving, kind of a church. People from all over Europe coming to their church. We are blessed, as we do support them, that they're going to be, that they're here today to deal with us. God is there, but also break the Word of God with us. So if you encourage Paul and Christine Piarki for what they do, just clap for them. Before you talk, I said we're going to take an offering at the end. You're going to have to clap again because I interrupted your clap, but don't do it yet. And it's going to be a sweet offering, and you're going to come prepared to pray. Okay? I want you to be prepared to pray. I'll explain how that worked when we're done. So, anyway, you can come out and share the word.
I'll start.
Thank you, Wendy. I don't know about you, but I spent my week in Bumble. It's really nice partaking in more leadership team as folks. Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it. My wife, 20 years. It was real, real fast. But back there, people in there were at, which is crazy. But from Green Bay, Johnson, Braves, Eastside, Bay, and just some of you may have some questions years ago. She saw a picture here of our 15-year-old, and they're just helping them both college net. So both of us break in to know what's going on. But they're just, both of us are with them. Do you know who's in the messages first? And both of them, okay, how many of you heard fighting? You mean the captivity of the realization Christ did on the cross was the finished work for us to then relationship. That's the message that some people around the world have never heard. That live in loneliness, that live in separation, that don't even realize or know what the name of Jesus is today to come in relationship, in power. He has complete battle in the spiritual realm. See that no one too callous and deceptive philosophy depends on human tradition, there it is, and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in the body, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Listen, if there's a spiritual battle that needs to be done, you know, I really believe that prayer goes a long way. I believe that there's a spiritual war happens in prayer. But ultimately, it is Jesus that gives. We can war, we can sweat, we can scream, we can do all we can do. And maybe God uses that as our heart participates with him in prayer as we seek him. But ultimately, the work is already completed on the cross. Because all spiritual authorities, all that would come in conflict with him, it's no match. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's this symbol, it's an oriental symbol, it's called yin and yang. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like black and white, right? And they kind of circle each other. And there's actually a spiritual concept behind that idea, and that is a war between the two equals of good and evil, right? And that they're, I'm not going to use that word. They continually are warring against each other, these two equals. You know that's completely unbiblical, right? There's no war between two equals. The war is done. It's done in Jesus Christ. There's no competition. All we need to do is to go to Jesus Christ. He's got it done already. Now, we do get in our own way, don't we? And there is a spiritual warfare that still is going on around us. And that spiritual warfare is real. But it is in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Ultimately, the war is done. And we can continue to go back to him and find fulfillment in him. And we just need to, and let me tell you, sometimes we just need to accept his finished work. Right? We need to get out of our own way. We just need to go to Jesus, make him the center of it all. Go to him and realize when we first go to him in salvation and every consensual, I can't use that word today. Every time after that we go to him, we come to realize the fullness of the transformation that happens in him. And I could have worn better clothes than I wore today. I don't know him much better. I could have looked better. I tried to get a haircut yesterday. There was no appointment. I could have looked better than I do right now. And I get a haircut. I clean up pretty good. Really. Don't matter. We can try to make ourselves better on the outside. We can work. Jesus got it all done, hasn't he? Just come to him and let him do the work inside of us. Give us the freedom of sin. Give us the freedom to grow in him. The freedom to mature ourselves in Christ. Not in our own work. And there's a great freedom in that, isn't it? There's a great freedom in that. Now, there's all the stuff that we read are good stuff. You know, holding to certain dietary issues. I think it would be good for all of us to stay away from the bacon and the cheese curds, right? It's not going to send us to hell, but it may get us out of this world a little faster, right? for all of us to seek out spiritual things, visions, angels. That's great stuff, you know, but it is to guide us a little bit. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, give us wisdom as we go, right? But to make it just about that, we lose track. And everything that this church was going through, all it was Paul saying, hey guys, just get back to Jesus. Just get back to the cross. Just realize the power that's done in him. It's all about that. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story that's new to me and what God has been doing in Ukraine, honestly, in the last 4 years, but in the last year. There comes a point in a ministry, and I'm just kind of getting there when I'm realizing how I have to get out of the way and let God just kind of do what he's going to do. I don't know if that makes any sense. But in the last year, God's been doing just some beautiful things. And we got back to Ukraine about 4.5 years ago in the center of a war, the center of a major conflict. And we as a church just said, what is the activity of God? What is God saying? And so we began a process of just raising up young pastors. People who had like a sense that they wanted to be pastors. This is my pastoral training group. There's actually two Americans in there, so yeah. But these are some of the guys that we pour into every single week. The guy up in the top, that's Maxime. Maxime got saved 9 years ago in our teen challenge. We started a teen challenge coffee house at our international church. And Maxime walked through the doors, and he is now one of our church planters. And Maxime got saved from a lifetime of being in prison and on the streets as a methadone user. And today, I'm so blessed to say that out of that one coffee house that we planted 10 years ago, there are 30 teen challenges all across Ukraine. It's exciting. If you don't know anything about Teen Challenge, it's a ministry that focuses on people with life-controlling addictions, and God is doing great things through that. I was able this Christmas to experience something brand new in missions, and that is I am no longer even on the advisory board. It is completely national led. God is doing great things. But Maxime was saved there, and God has done some great things through him. The guy with the beard on the side, he's our Arabic pastor. He's from Syria. He pastors our Arabic congregation. And the couple over here on the left, I married them in May. That's Dennis and his new wife, Anna. But 4.5 years ago, our elders got together. We started raising up young pastors, and we planted our church, our first church in Svetlodarsk. Svetlodarsk is in the conflict zone. I think it's the next picture here. This is Andre on the far left. Andre came out of our college group at ICA, the church that we pastor in Kiev. Andre goes to sleep every single night hearing bombs because he is within 3 kilometers of the front lines. There's all these people left behind where there were no church, and we said, God, what is your activity? And so we planted in Svetlodarsk, and Pastor Andre is doing a great work. This is part of his core leadership. He's got a church of 50 in one village and a church of 60 in the next. And every single person in those two churches had never been in a church before. And God is doing great church. Would you pray for Pastor Andre in Svetlodarsk? And then just 1.5 years ago, we planted in the village of Kolensky. There's Maxime. Maxime and Dennis are co-pastoring. This village church is just 30 kilometers away from a place you might have heard of, Chernobyl. Anybody know where Chernobyl is? You might have heard that word. But this village is in the center of a range of 20 villages that have no churches whatsoever. No churches within a 20-village radius of them. And an opportunity was given for us to have a facility, and so we said, let's do it. Somebody offered a facility for us to do it, so we got some young guys together, and we said, okay, let's plant a church in Kolensky. And so we decided on Christmas. Christmas in Ukraine is on January 6th. We get 2 Christmases in Ukraine. 2. My kids just love it. So we did an outreach. There are 300 homes in the village, right? Dirt floors in their houses, dirt streets. And we put together bags at the church for all of them. We put Bibles, children's Bibles, food, some Christmas gifts. We gave them out to every house. And then we had like a Christmas hymn sing, right? Christmas songs that they might know, have heard of. And we met in this room, and we decided this was the time we were going to start, like, home groups. We were going to start a Bible study. Maybe we'd get a few people together. 50 people showed up from the village the first night that we had a meeting. And so my young pastor said, we need to start church next week. And I said, that's not how you plant churches. You don't. You have you start out with a small group and you start talking about it. And then you start a Bible study. And then maybe in about a year you have a launch group. And they're like, no, pastor, we need to start. And so we started, and the first Sunday, 50 people showed up. And we are so excited. It's about an hour and a half north of Kiev, and these guys are going back and forth all the time. Great things are happening in Cullency. Follow them online. We call it Source of Hope. That's the name of our church plant there. We've had 3 water baptisms there. We've had many young people come to Christ. 2 have gone into Teen Challenge already. Here's one of our water baptisms. We do water baptism as a big event in the spring every single year, and we just had ours on May the 16th. It was great. 400 people came together, 15 people got water baptized, and 2 of them from the church in Cullency. We were so excited. But that Sunday was a very interesting Sunday for us, and this I will end in our story just to kind of connect what God is doing in his activity. There's a woman in Cullency. Her name is Martha. I think we've got a picture of her there. Martha's 95 years old. 95 years in Ukraine is different than 95 years in the United States. It's a different life. Because if you're a historian, you know a few things about northern part of Ukraine here. Martha lived through the forced starvation of Stalin. Martha recalls sitting in the fields at 5 years old, eating hay with her brother to survive. 3.5 million people starved to death in 2 years. That affects a nation. She remembers Nazi Germany coming through her village and wiping out almost the complete population. She hid in the woods and she watched her brother shot in the head. Martha, at 95, has outlived 3 husbands, never had any children, and for the last 10 years, completely blind. And to the village of Cullency, she's considered to be a witch. Angry, bitter, doesn't want anything to do with anybody. She sleeps on top of a stone fireplace at night to stay warm. And so when we went into Cullency as a church and we started planting there, she didn't want anything to do with us, but what we did do is we kept adding to her wood pile. Right? So we would purchase wood for her, we'd pile it up, cut it up for her. 2 of the young ladies in the church that got saved and are now on the worship team started visiting her. And bringing her food and kind of help bathing her. Her neighbor who did all those things passed away. And so the church just kind of stepped in and helped as they could as they went along. It wouldn't have anything to do with the church. On May the 6th, Maxime on Sunday, their services are at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Our pastors attend at our church and then go up there and launch out there. Maxime went with these 2 young ladies to visit Martha. Usually she swears at them and yells at them. She swears like nobody's business, right? I learned so many new Ukrainian words from people like that, right? You don't get those in church. Not often, anyhow. He stopped there to visit her, and for some reason on May the 6th, her disposition was different. And Maxime went in with these 2 young ladies. Now, Maxime's an evangelist. I get saved every time I meet him, right? Every time I meet him. He's amazing. And so he met with her, made a cup of tea. You don't talk with people without a cup of tea in your hand in Ukraine, a few little cookies, and they sat together and they talked. And he told all about what the finished work of Jesus is and how much God loves her, a message she has never heard before in her life. And on May the 6th, Martha accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Word trickled out really fast. Like, we were like freaking out. We're so excited, right? And just seeing somebody who's so hard to the gospel, finally hearing it and seeing a life transformed. It was so exciting.
Now, May the 6th, she came to Christ. May the 16th, it was our water baptism day, right? Big day. And so Maxime and Dennis, they drove the hour and a half up to come and see to pick up a big crowd to bring them to the picnic. And we're going to have a big day today. Two of the ladies were getting baptized. Stopped at Martha's house and found her dead. Just 10 days. Now, this is just 3-4 months ago. Just 10 days after accepting Jesus Christ. And my two young pastors said, I have no idea what to do. Maxime said, I walked in, and she was laying on her bed. She has one window with a glass pane. He said, her eyes were open, and the light was shining on her face. He said, I wrapped her in a blanket. I contacted the officials in the next village to come over and collect her. And then he came to the water baptism a couple hours late, pulled me aside. What do I do, Pastor? What do I do? How do I do a funeral? I've never done a funeral before. I've been doing missions for 14 years. I've been in some really unique places. And all that we do in raising funds, and all that we do praying, and all that we do working so hard to put the gospel in all other places, this is what it's all about. Now, I can tell you numbers in Ukraine of how many people are in churches, how many places are unreached. I can tell you all the different religions that are in the country and language groups and unreached people groups in Ukraine. And for that matter, with my missions experience, I could tell you all of Eurasia. It's really all about the Marthas, isn't it? And how patient God has been for 95 years, right? For that opportunity, for the activity of God. I was at a church recently, a few years ago. And this guy comes up to me. And after the service, you know, there's a little tiny church. This guy comes up. He's older. He's got a cane. Kind of comes up to me. He says, young man, I want you to know something. I said, every single day for the last 10 years, I've been praying for you. But then he said, I've been pronouncing your name wrong for 10 years. He'll do that. I told him, I think God understands and God will figure it out. Listen, his prayers had just as much to do with Martha coming to Christ as Maxine did. And all the giving and all the supporting and all the short-term missions team, all creating the bed, all creating the place, all developing the pastors, all reaching those locations, all has a part in this amazing work that God has done across the world. Now, I got these two pastors. I'm going to close with this because I'm supposed to have something to focus on right as we leave here. And I'm going to ask you to focus on a couple of things. First of all, I want to say thank you for your support, all your prayers, and everything you're doing. Thank you for your continued support to help us get back because we have to raise a budget to get back. We lose somewhere between 8 to 10% of our budget every single year. We're away. So when you're away 4 years, you got to build up new cash, get back into ministry on the field. But if you would pray with me for just a moment. I've been meeting with Maxime and Dennis. I showed their pictures just a few minutes ago. They're tired. How many of you know what it means to be tired? They work hard. They're exhausted. Both of them work full-time jobs. They're bivocational. And they're tired. They're burned out. Would you just take a few moments with me and would you pray for those two guys? Can we just take a few minutes and pray that God would continue, not only for the church in Kolyntsi, but the church in Svetlodarsk, for the teen challenges all over Ukraine, and for ICA Kiev, that we would continue to be able to just be obedient enough to find where the Marthas are. God would do his work. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to say thank you today for the joy it is to be a part of this church today, the joy that it is to be together as your body, because most of us have experienced this new life that Colossians talks about in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want our lives to be about Jesus Christ. Thank you for the finished work on the cross. Today I want to pray for our young pastors all across Ukraine. Maxime, Dennis, Andre, Rafi, all those that are serving you and are tired and exhausted. This week, even just messaging them, Lord God, all of the the overwhelming part of ministry. Lord God, we pray for supernatural energy. Lord, we pray for other leaders to stand up around them and lift them up, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray that we get to go to these places, planting churches where they don't exist, raising up new pastors and launching them in places that they don't exist. Lord, I pray that this church in Cullen Sea would multiply into another church around them. Lord God, we pray you do your work. Lord, we repent today if we've done anything to put a focus in our lives on anything but what Jesus has done for us. Lord, there's nothing we can do to work your love for us, your grace for us, your compassion. You love us. You love us. You love us, Lord God. And I thank you for that today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to take an offering for the PRKs. Sally, I'm going to have you pray. Very specifically, Mike and Shelly, I'm going to have you pray over the mission. You're going to pray over Christine. And I'm going to pray over you, Paul. But we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to do this a little differently. And I'm going to ask you to set your baskets on the altar. And then I'm going to ask, you know, for those who feel that they are called to give to this mission, to stay up here, because you're going to pray. So this is going to be, I don't know how it's going to look. I have an idea, but I'm not sure. But I think it's right. And it's a prayer protection that I want you to be praying for this family. So come on up, put your offerings. You're going to set them right on the thing. Just stand next to your basket. That would be great. Pastor James and Jill team will be leading us just in quiet worship as we come forward. But I'm going to ask Paul and Christine to have a seat right here in these chairs. And I'm going to ask women, if you want to pray for them, to lay hands on Christine. That's perfectly okay. And men, to lay hands on Paul. That's perfectly appropriate. And as we get about halfway through it, then we're going to actually pray. So come on forward with your gift, and then if you stay up here, that'd be wonderful.